Welcome to the Behind the Headlines Radio Roundtable. I'm Christopher Blank, sitting in for Eric Barnes. This week on our panel of journalists, we have Jane Roberts, education reporter for the Commercial Appeal, and Bill Dries of the Daily News. Welcome. This week, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder announced that he was scaling back the prosecutions of minor drug offenses. This has resonated across the country because mandatory sentencing guidelines in many states have led to prisons being overcrowded with nonviolent offenders. I've noticed that many people in the media these days say that this is a civil rights issue. What do you think, Bill?
Well, it's a series of initiatives called Smart on Crime. They're built on the premise which has been long discussed and debated within the criminal justice system that in many cases, perhaps we lock up too many people for too long a period of time. And the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder came out this week and said that basically he thinks it not only does not help with the nation's crime problem, but that it contributes to the crime problem. So he's talked about a number of initiatives, and that is a more judicious decision on who to prosecute for drug crimes, who to charge with crimes that have mandatory minimum sentences. Many of those cases are drug cases. And the local angle on this is that many of these decisions are now being made in the federal prosecutor's office here in Memphis for the Western District of Tennessee, which is basically the area between the Mississippi and Tennessee rivers.
I think this is interesting because it's not Congress saying, let's not prosecute these low-level drug offenders. It is actually the Attorney General telling his employees, let's not go after these guys.
Right. Congress passed the mandatory minimum sentencing laws, and Holder is not calling for the nation to walk away from those mandatory minimum sentencing. What he's saying is that prosecutors need to take more time to decide who needs to be charged with those crimes that have those sentences.
We're in the second week now of the unified school district. And Jane, I want to go to you. How are things going over there?
Well, I think that the most visible problems still are transportation issues. And we saw this week that the person who was the head of transportation for the unified district retired early, just came in to work one day and said, I'm going to retire. She had been a Shelby County employee, director of transportation. And, you know, I think that these problems are sort of get right to the heart of what the angst is about the unified district. And it has been compelling and exacerbated, really, because when people call the district offices, there are so many people calling they cannot get through. I mean, I can really feel for people that there's nothing more frustrating in the morning when the bus hasn't come and it's the third and the fourth day, or it's late at night, supper time, and your children still aren't home and you don't know where they are and you cannot get anyone on the phone. That was happening last week. I expect it's better now. The district did announce this week that it has hired a chief of communications, which is sort of a new thing to have a chief of communications. And we get the impression from the title that this person will have more responsibility, maybe be part of the inner core more. It's Emily Yellen, who's a Memphis family.
That's interesting.
And who is ironically the author of the book Your Call Is Not That Important to Us?
Right.
She wrote a book about customer service.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. And from the media point of view, the former Memphis City Schools did not have a good reputation for being responsive to public inquiry.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week. Join us again next week.